Good morning, everyone, both here in church and on Zoom. And we're delighted to see some faces from the past here with us today. You're all very welcome. We also welcome Sheila Hassan, one of our local preachers, who is bringing God's word to us this morning. And we ask for God's blessing on you, Sheila. We're also this morning reintroducing collection or offering during the service. So we obviously stopped this during COVID and then the building work, but have decided now to resume it. So I will be at the back with two bags, one for each side, and I would ask you to zigzag them to the front. If you haven't got any coins or paper money and would like to use our sum up machine, it's going to be on the little green stool, which is beside Helen. Helen, can you raise your hand, please? Yes, thank you. So that everybody knows where the sum up machine is going to be. And we're hoping that that is where it is going to be every week, so that you know that that is where to aim for. So, sum up machine, collection or offering. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Pauline, for your welcome. This morning, our theme is very much about saying thank you. So we're going to begin our service with some words from Psalm 111, because that's a song of praise and thanks to God. Hopefully it's on the screen. I will read the light types and you will read the bold type. If anyone's got the book, it's number 826 in Singing of Faith. Alleluia. I will give thanks to the Lord with my whole heart.
In the company of faithful and in the congregation.
The works of the Lord are great, sought out by all who delight in them.
His word is full of majesty and of honour, and his righteousness endures forever.
He appointed a memorial for his marvellous deeds. The Lord is gracious and full of compassion.
He gave food.
He showed his people the power of his works in giving them the heritage of the nations.
The works of his hands are truth and justice. All his commandments are sure.
They stand fast for ever and ever. They are done in truth and equity.
He sent redemption to his people. He commanded his covenant forever. Holy.
The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. A good understanding have those who live by it. His praise endures forever. Amen. So our first hymn is going to also be picking up this theme. We see this hymn as quite modern, but you'd probably be surprised to realise it was written in 1978, which is 44 years ago, which somewhat surprised me. It was written by Henry Smith, and it was his only published hymn. He actually wrote 30 hymns, but only got one published. And he was encouraged to write it when he was having trouble getting a job after graduation. And his church pastor inspired him with the reference of Jesus made himself poor to make others rich through him. And when this was started to be performing in church, there was a visiting person from the United States military who brought the song to Europe, which obviously is now a very popular song. And so we join together in hymn number 78, Singing the Faith, Give Thanks with a Grateful Heart, which we'll sing through twice.
Thank you.
having given thanks through our song, we now turn to God to give our thanks and adoration to him, followed by confession and the Lord's Prayer. We are reminded that we are now in the presence of God, and God is with us, each one of us, right now, waiting to hear our praises and also waiting to support us in our everyday life. So let us pray. With our whole hearts, we give thanks to you, our God, creator of all we need, provider of the opportunities that come our way, guider of the choices we make, and safe harbour for all our fears and anxieties. Grant us boldness to approach you, confidence to serve you, and courage to witness to you in the world. Father God, you are gracious and compassionate, loving and just in all your ways. We give you praise for all that you are, holy and awesome, wise and good, our God forever. We are amazed by the many small acts of kindness and blessings that you pour out to us, the beauty of your creation. Each day something different to notice and recognise your creative hand. Generous God, we thank you for the gift of your Son Jesus Christ, that through his death and resurrection we can be bold enough to call ourselves children of God, and that by his example we can learn what it is to be called your child. Holy Spirit, we recognise that you direct and guide our thoughts and minds. Fill us with your Spirit that we can be true messengers of God on earth. Amen. And just pause and consider where we've been with God in the past week and bring to mind one or two things that perhaps God may not have been so happy about for us. Gracious God, with sorrow we admit how well we do not know our lives have not been according to your will. We confess the times that we've let you down and dishonoured your name, and regret the shame we feel. Father, we have fallen short against your standards. Sometimes we may have hurt our friends and families, and we have not always loved you with all our heart, and we have not always shown love to those around us. Father, forgive our selfishness, our desire to go our own way and not yours. Father, forgive us for the times we choose not to listen to you. Lord, we seek your forgiveness for all our sins, in the knowledge that you, Father God, forgive us through your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. And now we join in the words of the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen. So as I've said, the theme of our service today is saying thank you. And I wonder how many of you, when you were children in particular, enjoyed writing your thank you letters. It was always a sting, wasn't it? After your birthday or Christmas, your mum or dad would come down upon you and demand that you wrote letters. Of course, it's a little bit easier these days because parents quite often produce the words and the children might just put something in at the bottom on a computer and it can be sent off. And more often than not these days, you get a text message. Well, I get text messages from my relatives saying, thank you. It is also a dying out practice, which is, I think, is quite sad as well, because, you know, so many people, you know, receive presents and gifts, but they never know if they've received, you know, the person that's got them received or anything, because there's nothing there to tell us, which is a bit unfortunate. But it's really important that we do say thank you when we're in receipt of something nice, and that's not just presents, it's things people do for us. This morning, we're going to look and hear about how Jesus healed 10 lepers from the deadly disease called leprosy. It was a very horrible disease because if you caught it, you weren't allowed to live and stay with your friends and family. So it was quite nasty. And you had to live away from them, and you usually got sent off somewhere very nasty to live as well, because they knew it was a very easily caught disease, and they didn't want to get it, basically. They came across Jesus one day, and Jesus healed all 10 men. He told them to go off to the priest, and as they were going, they were healed. They could tell, because it was a skin disease, they obviously could see the skin getting better. But rather sadly, only one came back to say thank you. 10%. That's really sad that Jesus made 10 people better and only one thought to go back. And Jesus is using this example in many ways to tell us it's really important that we say thank you. And we also, it's really important we say thank you to God, because God also likes his thanks. He may be up there in heaven, but actually he wants to hear our thank yous as well. It's just as important that we include God. Because, do you know, I'm sure you agree with me that if somebody says thank you, feel so much better, don't you? You're also more willing to help somebody again in the future. It brings a lot of good things. Of course, last week we had harvest, and harvest is set aside to say thank you for our food and what God provides. So we're very much in a season of saying thank you. And I was just wondering, can you think of anything that you would like to say thank you to God today for? Have you got any ideas? I'll leave the children for a minute and ask one or two adults to give them a bit of chance to come up with an idea. So what about the choir? Safe travels back from Iceland. That's a good one, yes. Anybody else in the adults would like to say thank you, say something about thank you that God has done for them this week?
Yeah, I've got something to say. We went on a wonderful day yesterday on the paddle steamer all the way down to Southend, and that was a fantastic day, and God provided the most wonderful weather for us, because it would not have been the same in pouring rain, especially not walking down the pier for a mile and a quarter at Southend. But so thank you for good weather,
Jane.
And Sheila, here is a thank you card to Shirley from us to say thank you for an amazing day. Blessed by the Lord.
Absolutely, yes. What about anyone down here? Have they got anything they want to say thank you to God for this morning? It's hard sometimes to think, isn't it? Come up with something.
This is our first time to come here. Thanks, God.
Yeah, well, welcome.
Yeah.
Yes. Lovely to see you.
Yeah.
Anyone on this side would like to say anything they'd like to say thank you for? Pauline.
I'd like to say thank you to the wonderful work that the NHS does. So many of us are calling on it at the moment, and amidst all the struggles that they have, in very, very many cases, they are providing wonderful support. So thank you, NHS.
Thank you, Pauline. And how are you getting on down here? Have you come up with any ideas of what you can say thank you to God for? No?
I was going to say thank you, but he had a lovely day with his auntie Rara yesterday.
Oh, that's so nice.
Thank you.
You had a good day. Did you come up with any ideas, Theo?
See if anyone knows what they are.
Oh, I don't know what they are. So you're grateful for having some new things to play with.
Can you tell everyone?
They're called Among Us.
Among Us?
Among Us. Oh, yes.
Right.
And
okay.
It might be a little thing, but really, it was a great thing. Every week, as you know, we get the bin men coming round to collect our big bins, and I have a path which has two steps up, and I put it outside. Now, I think one of the bin men I must have taught in the years gone by. But, you know, this week, one of them brought my bin right back down the path and put it in my porch. Do you know, a little thing, but my goodness, did it make a big difference how I felt.
Absolutely, Barbara. Saying thank you isn't always about the big things, it's about the little things. And as you can see, it's quite hard sometimes to think of things to say thank you for. And yet, if we're really honest, there's an awful lot of things that we should be saying thank you for. And that's what we're thinking about this morning. And so we're going to sing a song, not surprising, about thank you. It's on YouTube because the words are different from the hymn book. So it's going to be played up there, and it's "Thank you, Lord, for this fine for this new day." Please sing it as a hymn. It's quite easy to sing along with it. Thank you very much for joining in so enthusiastically with that. And saying praise to God is pretty much the same thing as saying thank you. So sometimes we get mixed up with words and theological names for things. But praise and thanks pretty much come into the same kind of category. It's all about recognising where God is in our lives. And it's so important. Now, the children have got some activities. So I have templates for boxes. What I would like you to do on the boxes is on each face, if you can think of something to say thank you for. Okay, you can either draw that or write that. And I also have some activity sheets as well. Okay, so I'm sure you'll enjoy doing them. We'll see how you get on a bit later on. Okay, it's suitable for all ages, so if you want to join, or anybody else, you know, please feel free. And so we just do a short word, a short prayer. Dear Lord, you give us everything we need, but we often forget to say thank you. We thank you now and ask you to help us to remember to give thanks every day for all that you do for us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We're now going to have our two readings this morning. The first one comes from 2 Kings and the second one is our gospel reading, Luke chapter 17.
The Old Testament reading is 2 Kings 5, verses 1 to 3 and verses 7 to 15. Naaman healed of leprosy. Now Naaman was commander of the army of the king of Aram. He was a great man in the sight of his master and highly regarded, because through him the Lord had given victory to Aram. He was a valiant soldier, but he had leprosy. Now bands of raiders from Aram had gone out and had taken captive a young girl from Israel, and she served Naaman's wife. She said to her mistress, "If only my master would see the prophet who is in Samaria, he would cure him of his leprosy." As soon as the king of Israel read the letter, he tore his robes and said, "Am I God? Can I kill and bring back to life? Why does this fellow send someone to me to be cured of his leprosy? See, how is he trying to pick up a quarrel with me?" When Elisha, the man of God, heard that the king of Israel had torn his robes, he sent him this message: "Why have you torn your robes? Have the man come to me, and he will know that there is a prophet in Israel." So Naaman went with his horses and chariots and stopped at the door of Elisha's house. Elisha sent a messenger to say to him, "Go wash yourself 7 times in the Jordan, and your flesh will be restored and you will be cleansed." But Naaman went away angry and said, "I thought that he would surely come out to me and stand and call on the name of the Lord his God, wave his hand over the spot and cure me of my leprosy. Are not Abana and Papa, the rivers of Damascus, better than all the waters of Israel? Couldn't I wash in them and be cleansed?" So he turned and went off in a rage. Naaman's servants went to him and said, "My father, if the prophet had told you to do some great thing, would you not have done it? How much more then when he tells you, 'Wash and be cleansed'?" May God bless this reading of his holy word.
The gospel reading is from Luke chapter 17, verses 11 to 19. The section is entitled 10 Healed of Leprosy. Now, on his way to Jerusalem, Jesus travelled along the border between Samaria and Galilee. As he was going into a village, 10 men who had leprosy met him. They stood at a distance and called out in a loud voice, "Jesus, Master, have pity on us." When he saw them, he said, "Go, show yourselves to the priests." And as they went, they were cleansed. One of them, when he saw he was healed, came back, praising God in a loud voice. He threw himself at Jesus' feet and thanked him, and he was a Samaritan. Jesus asked, "Were not all 10 cleansed? Where are the other 9? Was no one found to return and give praise to God except this foreigner?" Then he said to him, "Rise and go. Your faith has made you well." Thanks be to God.
Thank you, Martha and Heather, for reading those words to us. So our second hymn this morning was written in the 17th century, and it was by Isaac Watts, a well-known songwriter, and recognises the hand of God in our daily lives. So we're singing from singing the fave number 90, "Sweet is the work, my God and King."
Thank you.
The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. All who follow his precepts have good understanding. To him belongs eternal praise. That came from our psalm reading that we opened our service this morning. So, our readings this morning highlight the consequences of having a deadly skin disease, leprosy, which resulted in a sufferer with much pain, disfigurement, and social isolation. Leprosy in biblical times was a terrible disease, and it wasn't fully understood. But once caught, it was usually incurable. And those diagnosed with leprosy were banned from society, as it was thought to be infectious. We caught a glimpse of this, didn't we, during COVID, especially in the early stages of COVID, where people were isolated. But we only had to do it for a short while. Obviously, some people did it for longer. My sister-in-law got stuck in India or somewhere and was stuck in a hotel for 6 weeks before she could come back. But that isn't the kind of isolation these people suffered. They were alienated completely forever. Of course, at that time, there was no understanding on how diseases were caught and spread, as there are today. But they caught on to something, didn't they? They understood that if you had an infectious disease, you had to stay away from people. And so anyone suspected of leprosy was kept isolated until their diagnosis was confirmed, and it was confirmed by the priests. But the Jewish people, they went a step further, because they also said, along with being cast out and socially isolated, they were ritually unclean. So they were banned from worship. To touch a leper, you were defiled, and it was considered almost as bad as touching a dead person. Pretty grim stuff. And of course, being good Jews, they had good laws and rules about all these things, and in Leviticus, chapter 13, it says that the person who has such an infectious disease must wear torn clothes, let his hair be unkept, cover the lower part of his face and cry out, "Unclean, unclean." For as long as he had the infection, he remained unclean. And he must live alone, and he must live outside the camp. Those were the Jewish rules for leprosy at the time. So it's not at all surprising that this was a disease that was greatly feared. Because once you had it, you had to leave your home, your community, your family, and preferably live in a desert place. So we move forward a little bit more into Jesus' time, and Jesus sets the scene. The rules and practices of the Jewish nation are still in place. The rules for leprosy were still there. And Jesus and his disciples were travelling from Galilee towards Jerusalem. And to do this, he chose to go through the border area of the south extremity of the province of Galilee, which was also at the north end of the area where the Samaritans lived. So it was sort of a no-man's land almost, a crossover between Jews and Samaritans. It was also a barren land, so it was extremely ideal for lepers to live in a community. Now, interestingly, the 10 men with leprosy who saw Jesus, they knew the rules, so they kept their distance. Interestingly, despite their social isolation, they had clearly heard about Jesus because they recognised who he was. I guess it could have been that somebody new joined the colony, or I think sometimes relatives and friends would leave food at a distance, and that may have been shouted across a distance. Who knows? But I think it's quite interesting that for this group of people that were isolated, they still had the opportunity to hear about Jesus. So the lepers, they asked for pity. That was the usual cry. Now, all lepers, it flowed off their tongue, because whenever they saw anyone, they would call out, "Have pity on us." They don't ask for healing. They ask for pity. And what's pity? Okay, at this time and age, pity would be seen any offers of food, clothing, shelter, or whatever else they might find useful. They knew of Jesus' reputation to be a compassionate person. So they thought that Jesus would give them something. They were not asking for, and they were not expecting healing. And of course, Jesus does the unexpected thing. by saying to them, show yourselves, go show yourselves to the priest. Now, you had to show yourself to the priest if you thought you either had leprosy or you were cured from leprosy, so that they knew, they would know the rules. And all 10 went, and they were cleansed. Now, some interesting things about this encounter, because Jesus did not touch them to heal them. We have an account where Jesus did touch a leper to heal, but in this account, he didn't. And I think probably it could well be that Jesus, in all his encounters with people, had something to highlight, and this wasn't the bit that he was wanting to highlight. For these people, it was enough to hear the word of God and obey, and went an action as well. So they heard God, they obeyed, and that was the action of doing and going to the priest. Perhaps, because they were Samaritans, they may have known the story of our Old Testament reading in Kings and realised that by obeying Jesus, the words may have caused healing. And of course, we have in 2 Kings chapter 5 from our reading this morning that Naaman went away angry and said, I thought that he would surely come out and stand and call my name to the Lord God, wave his hand over the spot and cure me with my leprosy. And then later on, his friends convinced him that he had to obey. So he went down and dipped himself in the Jordan 7 times as the man of God had told him. And his flesh was restored and it became clean like that of a young boy. So in these 2 accounts, there's a couple of things that occurred that were very important. Elijah and Jesus healed from a distance. No laying on hands or personal contact. In both cases, obedience was required for the healing, and in both cases, the people obeyed and were healed. Now, the account could have stopped there. The miracles happened. Jesus could have carried on moving on. But for this encounter, Jesus wanted to say something more. Because although it's an account of Jesus' healing the sickness, there was more to learn from this message. And that is that only one came back to give thanks and recognised the hand of God, and he was a Samaritan. And that's a sting in the tail for the people that were witnessing this event. Because Samaritans were not liked by the Jews and seen as inferior, despite a shared history. For the Jew, a Samaritan was worse than being a foreigner. And Jesus was using this experience to demonstrate that no one was outside of the kingdom of God and God's family. Because through Jesus, all are welcomed into salvation. And that was one of the most important things that Jesus was telling people, that actually he had come to save everybody, not just the few, the ones that were chosen earlier by God. We're also seeing themes of faith, obedience and gratitude. The 10 lepers all experienced healing, but the one that came back experienced more. By coming back and saying thank you, he recognised the hand of God. As a result, he received salvation too, so he got more. And what is going on here is a very important truth that we need to be aware of and practice. So, many of you who've read the church newsletter will have seen that I've now completed my MSc studies. And one of the first things you learn, and also at undergraduate level you learn, not to plagiarise someone's work. And if you do, you're actually failed. There is zero tolerance. Well, certainly at Sheffield Hallam, it's a zero tolerance. And you have to give reference to other people's work. When I submitted my dissertation, I even had to write a list of all the people that might have helped me. So Rod's got a mention, my family got mentioned, because it's important, you're drilled into the importance of recognising where you are. The only person I didn't put in was God, because I suspect these days that's a bit un-PC. But I have to say that I couldn't have done my MSc without God. It was amazing how many times I got stuck and prayed and got an idea in my head. It was just awesome. I just wish that when I was a schoolgirl doing my O-levels and A-levels that I'd thought about including God then, I might have got better grades. However, also interestingly, we're taught to do this as preachers as well. So in our written script, we have to mark out what Bible versions we're using and what references and where they come from. And Ros was a good gatekeeper of this, weren't you? Because obviously during COVID, everything was written and not every preacher has experience of that before. But it's very important that you recognise where you get your work from. This is exactly the same for us in the kingdom of God. Exactly the same. When we see the hand of God, we need to acknowledge and recognise this and proclaim this. And secondly, we need to say thank you to God as well. Gratitude and saying thank you is something we have to learn. We can all probably hear the voices of our parents saying to us, don't forget to say thank you. And then reminding us if we forgot. You know, you went to your elderly aunt's house who very kindly gave you a bit of pocket money or some sweets. And almost before you took them, your parents were down your throat saying, don't forget to say thank you. But that's because it does actually have to be a habit. It's not something we're naturally good at. It's the same in my workplace. Every so often an email gets sent out on the importance of saying thank you, as it's so easy in our busy worlds at work to forget to stop and say thank you to the people that help us. In our fast-paced world, we frequently have moved on so fast that we've already forgotten what God has actually done for us in the past week. And although not deliberately shown in the talk for the younger people, we were all struggling to think of instances of where God has been good to us just this past week and to say thank you. So it's not an easy task. You know, it's not easy to do this. Of course, in church, we have our prayers of thanksgiving that remind us of all the good things that God has done. But it's also something that we should be doing on the individual level as well. So, there is a legend from an unknown author, okay, hence my reference. And it goes like this. There were two angels that were sent down from heaven, and each one had a basket. And they went from place to place to poor house and rich houses, visiting children, saying their prayers, the people in churches, old and young. Then after a time, they came flying back with their loads. The basket carried by one was very heavy and laden, but the other basket from the other angel was very light, hardly worthwhile, one would have thought, to have gone so far and collected so little. What have you got in your basket? Asked the first angel. And they replied, I was sent out to collect prayers of all the people who said, I want, and please give me, answered the one with a heavy load. And he asked the other angel, well, what's in yours? Oh, replied the angel sadly, I have been sent to collect the thank yous of all the people to whom the great God has sent a blessing. But see how few have remembered to give. Thomas Merton, an American Trappist monk, writer and theologian of the 20th century, wrote, if we are not grateful to God, we cannot taste the joy of finding him in his creation. To be ungrateful is to admit that we do not know him and that we love his creatures not for his sake, but for our own. Unless we are grateful for our own existence, we do not know who we are and we have not yet discovered what it really means to be and to live. The only value of our lives is that it is a gift to God. Gratitude shows reverence to God in the way it makes us use his gifts. In the workplace, I often find ways of saying thank you to my colleagues, and I've discovered that if I do, they're much more willing to help me again. And people are very surprised, particularly on my activities of trying to get an urgent MRI scan for a patient, that I always succeed. And people said to me, well, why is that? And I said, it's because I say thank you. And it's so important that wherever we are and whatever we're doing, we remember to say thank you, because you will get a positive response. And as I said, it's the same for God. Gratitude and giving thanks are the key components of our Christian faith and witness. It is by acknowledging God and his work in our lives that we are witnessing his power in our lives and that we are children of God. We are humbling ourselves to his service, for it is not I, but him. By saying thank you to God, we are telling God that we recognise that we are his children and that the good things that we receive do come from him. And the more we say thank you, the more we will become aware of the wonderful things God does for us. So, I'm not going to embarrass anyone, you'll be pleased to know. But for a moment, okay, let's pause and reflect and think. Think about anything in your life, today, yesterday, last week, last year, whenever, when you've got something to say thank you to God. And in a quietness in your heart, acknowledge this to God and then say thank you to God. And so we pray, Maker, Redeemer, life-giving God, we thank you for all that you've done for us. We acknowledge the myriad ways you have impacted on our lives, the times you've helped us, healed us, drawn near to us. We recognise that there will be times you have helped us, but we did not see. So we thank you for those too. Help us perceive your working in our lives and renew in us a spirit of gratitude. Thank you, Lord, for all you've done for us. Amen. And thanks for his words to us this morning. So our next hymn was written in the 18th century by Horatius Bonner, who was a Scottish churchman and poet, and provides us with a prayer to ask God to fill our life with praise for him in everything we do, because it's really hard to do this, so we need help from our God the Father. Hymn number 73 from Singing the Faith, Fill Thou My Life, O Lord, My God.
With our prayers this morning, I have a response for you. So when I say, Lord, we give you thanks, will you respond by saying, hear us and have mercy upon us. Lord, we give thanks.
Hear us and have mercy upon us.
Blessed are you, Lord our God, all that is within us. Blessed is your holy name, for you forgive all our sins and heal all our infirmities. You save our lives from destruction and provide us with many good things. Blessed are you, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, now and forever. We give thanks for your church throughout the world and ask that it might share in your healing and bringing of peace. We remember before you all the priests and pastors spiritual healers, and those who are chaplains and carers of the terminally ill. We pray for the leprosy mission and its work throughout the world. Lord, we give you thanks. Hear us and have mercy upon us. We give thanks for all who maintain good government and care for the nations. We ask your blessing upon all leaders, rulers and politicians. We remember the work of the World Health Organization and all who work to relieve the needs and suffering of others. We pray for our own community and ask that we may appreciate all who work to keep it in good order. Lord, we give your thanks. Hear us and have mercy upon us. We give you thanks for our homes and our loved ones, for all who have helped us and taught us in life. We ask your blessing upon our families, our friends, and on our relationships. We pray for those who are separated from their loved ones through illness or circumstance. Lord, we give you thanks. Hear us and have mercy upon us. We give thanks for our life and our health. We remember before you all who are suffering alone with no one to help. We pray for those who are in isolation wards and all are unable to join in the full life of a community. Remember also those whom we know who are in hospital at this time. We ask your blessing upon all who work in the healing and in the caring for the ill. Lord, we give you thanks. Hear us and have mercy upon us. We give thanks that nothing can separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus. We remembered our loved ones who are departed from us and ask that they may enjoy the fullness of life eternal. We rejoice in the fellowship of all your saints and commend the world and ourselves to your unfailing love. At this time, we take a short time to think of anybody known to us who needs our prayers today. Merciful Father, accept these prayers for the sake of your Son, our Saviour, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Thank you, Peter. We're now going to take up our collection. Heavenly Father, we just give you thanks for all the many gifts and blessings that you pour out on us. Accept these gifts, bless them and use them, and give us wisdom on how best to use them. We also ask that you will bless the activities of this church this week and that others will come to discover the joy of being your child. Amen. So I'm wondering how the children have got on making their cubes. Even if they're not finished, would you like to just come up and show them so everyone can see what's going on? Okay. Hello. How did you get on? Oh, you've done yours. I love your pictures.
Family. School.
Yeah.
Toys. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I'm drawing for toys.
Mm-hmm. Friends. Well, you've done really well. I like the way you've written some and you've drawn some. Mm-hmm. I think that's really nice. Mm-hmm. When you get home, you can think about which toy you want to say thank you to God for, can't you? Because it's really hard to think immediately, isn't it? Yeah. Shall we do Luca next?
Luca. What's on your one? A smiley on the inside. Ow. I think you just did some nice draw.
Did you say, well, you got some, did you say thank you for your mum and dad?
Oh, and you've got a purse?
Mm.
Yeah.
Okay, and Theo?
What's on your one?
Oh,
Theo?
You've done a combination of words and pictures as well, I think.
This week. You've written teachers,
food, you've drawn an Among Us. I think that says world, family, and friends.
You've done really well. There's some really good ones there, aren't there? Mm-hmm. And you did some of the activities on the sheet as well. Did anyone crack the code?
Now, we think it says, we worked on it together, one man turned and ran all the way back to Jesus.
Yes, I think that's probably right. So well done, everybody. And now you've got little cubes you can take home to remind yourselves to say thank you to God. And so, we come to our final hymn. And throughout all our hymns, you may have noticed this morning, there has been obviously a theme of thanking God. But there's also been a theme of hymns going across different centuries. Now, I didn't actually set out to do that. But when I was looking to say, you know, to tidy up the service yesterday, it suddenly occurred to me that actually pretty much every hymn we've sung have come from a different century. And I've been highlighting that as we go through. Because it really demonstrates how saying thank you to God is forever. It's gone through the generations before and the generation now. And we have a responsibility to pass that on to the next generation as well. So this one's been written in the 15th century. It was written in German by Martin Reichardt, who was a Lutheran pastor, and it was translated later in the 18th century. And it's a very popular hymn, and I think it's a really good conclusion that we have about why we've been thinking about saying thank you. So it's hymn number 81 from Singing the Faith, Now Thank We All Our God. We bring to you, Lord, our memories of our life so far, however long or short, thanking you for all that we have learnt. Help us to see ourselves as you see us. Help us to see other people as you see them. Thank you for all the different friends we have. We ask you show to us what really matters. Help us to remember how much you love us and everyone. Amen.